Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $20 on the Steel MS-162 or MS-170 chainsaw. Real Steel. Offer valid through June 30th, 2024. See participating retailer for details. Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Live from New York, it's the show that features a real gentleman.
Oh, this is...
Oh, I'm feeling good, and you're looking good, too. How was your night?
Mine was good.
Mine was spectacular. How about you?
This is...
Fellow gentleman.
Like the
gentleman sweep. Happy Gentleman Sweep Tuesday here on First Things First. We might eschew our normal open. Just tickle the ivories a little bit. I know it's 3 p.m. Why don't you pull up someone you love or someone you love for a little while? Come join us. We're going to talk about sports and who knows what. Coming up on the show today, Jamal Murray. Another game winner. Will this game gain him entry into Club Superstar? Meanwhile, LeBron's non-answer to whether we've seen him play his last game, Brew, in a Lakers uniform. And finally, wow, special day, the illustrious return of the coldest segment in all of sports, Mahomes Mowen.
Oh, wow.
Alongside a full Chris Broussard. I bought Brew lunch today and he loved it.
No, I'm terrible. I was in the bathroom for 45 minutes.
Okay, that's no way to start eating the show.
Nah. I'm a gentleman.
Don't buy me any lunch. Be a gentleman and don't buy me lunch again. How about that?
You shouldn't have done that, Wild.
My God.
It's terrible.
It took a bad turn.
And Nick Wright.
Hey, buddy.
Going through it.
I'm not going through it. I'm fine. I'm turning the page.
After this.
On to Mahomes Mountain. Let's keep it going.
To Bruce after this.
Exactly right.
My God.
This is what happens when you start a show without telling us you're going to do a whole Miles Davis.
All right. Well, we start with the Lakers weren't the only team that crapped the bed.
Sorry.
I'm back to being a gentleman.
Yeah.
As some foresaw, Denver delivered a classy gentleman's sweep. Certainly was close, but as they say in the world of gentlemen, close, not close enough. Anthony Davis injured in a collision with Michael Porter Jr. Here's Anthony Davis after the game.
I guess it was like a little stinger. I just lost function, lost feeling. Some like, you know, my neck all the way to my hand. And then, you know, I get back in the game and, you know, I get hit again by KCP. It just made it a little worse. But obviously knowing the importance of the game, I'm gonna just try to get some feeling and stuff back in the hand, in the back with my trainer, and then just try to come back out there and just help the team get a win.
Okay. They did not get the win, but he did play. Do you think it's fair to say, this is the question we're asking, and I don't make these up, do you think it's fair to say the Lakers win the game if AD doesn't get hurt?
I hate this for Anthony Davis, and I hate this even more for Kevin Wilds, because this should be an asterisk-free Category 1, and instead now I guess we'll just never know.
Never know.
I mean, it's hard to – I mean, they were up 8.
Yep.
When AD,
six,
I'm sorry, up, they had been up 8. They were up
felt
6
like
when
eight.
AD got hurt. It felt like 8. Thank you. And then all of a sudden, Wilds guy Jackson Hayes plays a starring role, right. And I think he might reevaluate
rough few minutes.
Some of those opinions. All right, here's the deal. I suppose Wilds was right. I suppose that when you look at all aspects of the series, Denver was flatly the better team.
And Brew, I was about to say, Brew, you were also correct, but you weren't screaming at me with blood dripping from your eyes yesterday. I am more focused on Wild's side of it. But I will say this, and then I'll pass you the ball for your somewhat obnoxious victory lap.
Are you going to say it finally?
What? What?
It was a.
I've always believed. There are such things as close gentleman sweeps. I've never argued that. Find me the tape. You guys always try to get me in these jackpots and then realize I'm very judicious with my word choice. But I will say this to my dear friend Kevin Wilds. While this round was a loss for me and a seeming win for you, you have just now entered.
Not seeming.
Well, except for this part of it. This is just step one of what must be a four-part plan for your Denver Nuggets, because your tweets all year were not, the Lakers are not beating Denver in a seven-game series. It was nobody is. And I'm not sure, because I don't know who Brew's picking in the next round. I don't know who I'm picking in the next round. But, Brew, I am considering something that I think would be slightly diabolical, which is doing to the Denver Nuggets what Wilds did to the Kansas City Chiefs, which is just full-on attaching myself to that bandwagon and just going on the ride with you. I might do it. I don't know, because I looked up yesterday, Wilds, and I was convinced midway through the fourth quarter, this is one of the worst playoff games I've ever seen Jokic play.
Oh, yeah.
And then he had, and I'm like, well, except he has 22, 20, and 8.
Yeah.
And so, like, and the Michael Porter Jr. still hasn't missed a shot and was unbelievable through real tragedy going on in his personal life, all of it. And so hats off to you. I doff my proverbial cap. You were right. I was wrong. It didn't work out. But, I mean, again, if AD doesn't get hurt, who knows? But for the time being, it looks like you were right.
It looks like I was right. But once I dug into the numbers, turns out I wasn't.
Okay, this guy's smart ass.
Oh,
here we go.
Did you see this, bro?
It's your day. Yeah, go ahead.
Because I was like, yes, we won. And I told Josh, and I was like, Josh, I'm feeling great today. And Josh was like, why do you feel so good about it? I'm like, well, obviously, gentlemen sweep, and I was doing the whole gentleman's music. And Josh is like, well, take a look at this graphic. And he slid it across my desk.
Okay.
And I'm like,
TNT agreed with me that this was relevant.
It certainly doesn't feel like it.
Look,
the Lakers won
most in a quarter century.
Most of the time.
Yeah.
69% of the time they were leading.
Yeah.
High, 65, so I give it 7. So it's about, we're at about 76, over three quarters of the time, 75%. The Lakers basically won.
Yeah.
So if they're leading for 75%, there's five games. They're up 3-1, and they're basically like, they've won three games.
Yeah, in a fairer universe, it's 3-2 Lakers right now. Unfortunately, sports aren't always
good.
Fair.
I don't feel great about it, Brew. How do you feel?
I think that makes it worse. It was like Denver was just, they weren't toying with the Lakers, but it was like, let's just keep it relatively close, and then we'll execute down the stretch and beat them. And that's why, to answer your question, no. Had Anthony Davis not gotten hurt, they still would have lost. The one thing we learned in this series was whatever it took, Denver was going to do. We're down 20? Okay. We'll do what we got to do to win. We're you know, we need a last second shot? Okay. We'll do what we got to do to win. They would have won. AD, I know he only scored 1 point, Nick, after he got injured.
Yep.
All right. He probably would have ended up with about 25 or so points, between 25 and 30. Mm-hmm. So what? There's Denver still. And I will say, yesterday, I didn't feel like the 20-point game.
No.
Like, I thought the Lakers had a chance to win that game. But I'm just saying, Denver has been better down the stretch. And AD, he's been great this series statistically, particularly through the first three quarters. But let's check him out in the fourth. Look at that. Fourth quarter, he averaged 3 points a game. That's a 12-point pace for those that aren't good in math. He shot 36% from the floor in the fourth quarter. So chances are, had he even had a big third quarter while not getting hurt, he wouldn't have had a big fourth quarter. And LeBron was great in the fourth quarters, and they still lost. And so it would not have mattered. Denver was the better team. AD hurt at his best. Whatever, Denver still was going to win.
So listen, Denver was the better team, and they had the better roster, and their top two. I don't even act. You know what? I was going to say their top two outperformed the Lakers' top two, but I don't know if that's actually true for the entirety
of
the series.
They were more clutch.
But they outperformed the Lakers because Jamal struggled in multiple game two of this series. He was bad until the final 2 minutes when he was brilliant. Yesterday was, in my opinion, his first great start to finish game. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, in LeBron and AD's stat lines, and I know you have said in the past that there are times LeBron can, you know, find a way to fill up the box score without impacting the game. That is not how I felt about this series. I thought LeBron was excellent this series. I thought Anthony Davis, and this is where, and I try to be consistent with this across all teams and all guys, fourth quarter production falling off, people are like, oh, the moment. And I'm not saying that's what you're saying, or they got, and sometimes it is that Anthony Davis is being tasked with guarding Nikola Jokic. I know he's not the only one guarding him, all of that. And by the fourth quarter, he is worn down. And that in a way that Jokic seems oddly never in shape and the most in shape guy in the league. You know what I mean? And so I think there is a relevant reason as to why that happened. I don't think Anthony Davis, the lights got too bright.
I don't think the lights get too bright.
I just think yesterday he was banged up, and throughout the series, I think it's a hard ask to guard the soon to be 3-time MVP. And it does matter when Michael Porter Jr., and to the Nuggets' credit, that's their draft pick that fell in the draft because other teams had questions about that they re-signed. When we can show you his number, right? Injury.
Everybody knew he was a great.
Correct, and they when Michael Porter Jr. does this,
crush. Oh, he's shooting 49%.
I mean that in 22 a game, Wild.
Yeah,
pretty good. When that's happening, the Nuggets.
He's
aren't losing.
Fully capable of doing. I mean, but obviously he just did it. But remember, what were the comps when he came out in the draft? Kevin Durant.
Yes.
And I'm not saying he's going to be Kevin Durant. But
6'10", amazing jump shot.
Yep. Yeah. And unlike Durant, he shoots a lot of threes.
Yep.
So Michael Porter was
huge. And some annoying, if I was a Lakers fan, rebounds. Some just like, ooh, how did Michael Porter Jr. get that one?
Shout out Aaron Gordon, too, because he got another key one last night.
He got a key one.
And
that is, again, where I would just add context to it. And this is why the Nuggets are the team right now. They are asking Aaron Gordon to do exactly that, right? They're asking Aaron Gordon to defend, be around at the dunker spot, and then get to the loose balls, get to the rebounds.
Cleanups, yep.
And then, with a minute left, who did he out, you know, muscle or for the rebound? LeBron James. LeBron is being asked to do everything, and then also that. So it's not that surprising that, everyone on the Nuggets has a very defined role and does it. Michael Porter Jr. hit open shots. You know, KCP defend, hit open shots when your cap's working. And so I give him credit. You were right. Yeah, I was wrong. And we can talk about probably, you know, tomorrow when Darvin Ham's fired, the reasons for why the Lakers weren't better. Because we didn't have time to do it here, but that's
mostly Darvin Ham.
No, I didn't. I'm not saying. I'm not saying
that. But the internet says I didn't say you.
He didn't give the ball to AD in the fourth.
There's a lot.
You saw AD's numbers drop.
There's a lot of people that have to wear this Lakers team underachieving. The coach is one of them. The GM's one of them. And their star player. A lot of people have to wear.
Basically everyone.
Yeah, but
everybody's pointing fingers.
Yep.
It's his fault. It's their fault. It's her fault.
LeBron put up 39-11 and honestly looked like the best player on the court. Sorry, Joker. Mayor Fair. 7 turnovers. What was he doing out there? It's not even
It was
joke.
An odd 25-20.
It was a weird game, man.
LeBron looks way better than you. Here's LeBron's non-answer when asked about his future with the Lakers.
I don't have an answer to your first question, to be honest. Haven't given it much thought. Obviously, at some point, I'll sit down with Rich, my agent, and sit down with my family and, you know, see what's best, you know, what's best for my career. So, you know, we'll cross that when we need to.
Tonight, was there any thought at all that, you know, this could have been your last game with the Lakers?
I'm not going to answer that.
Great question. Great answer. And before you ask Brew the question, just because you gave LeBron his flowers and I and the internet appreciate that, but also you left one thing out because Brew will care about this. LeBron also led both players on both teams in the whole series in stocks, which I know you care a lot about.
Stocks.
Steals and blocks combined. You like that.
And he led in fourth quarter scoring.
Right.
He's the whole playoff.
The whole playoff.
Pretty good.
Number one fourth quarter scorer.
Wow. Yeah. And got him one game. Also led in getting dunked on by Jamal Murray.
Okay.
Was this LeBron's last game in a Lakers uniform?
No. There's not a fiber in my being that believes he's leaving.
Wow.
Maybe one very small fiber.
One fiber.
Very small fiber. he's staying in L.A. And LeBron's smart. He's going to use it for leverage. Use it to keep the pressure on them to try to improve the team. Use it to keep the pressure on them, if it's needed, to draft Bronny. And I think what will happen is LeBron will opt out of his contract. If he wants, why not sign the 3-year, $162 million extension? You don't, or contract, you don't have to stay 3 years. You know, you might retire after two, but you can sign it. And they will draft Bronny. And that's how I think this thing's going
to
play out.
So, and by the way, it should be added, he has not been eligible to get a no-trade clause with any contracts with the Lakers. He would be on this one. There's only one in the NBA, right? Bradley Beal, and I think that could be valuable to him. I'm going to make two predictions and then one kind of pipe dream. Prediction one, okay. No matter what contract LeBron signs, he's going to get killed for it. If LeBron takes a 3-year max, the discussion the next day is going to be, why didn't he care about winning more? What does this guy not, is this? And if LeBron were to take the opposite of a max, the league minimum, people would be like, oh, this
like
guy,
25?
This guy is stacking like the deck.
Baker
like
Mayfield.
I think he'd take more of a hit if he takes the league minimum.
Maybe, but I think either of those
money?
Things, that I'm saying a league minimum from someone else
with another team.
With another team.
Right, okay.
Now, so I agree, I think Brew laid it out almost exactly right as far as what will happen.
Yeah.
What I would like to, I think there are four realistic options that make basketball sense, that make legacy sense, that are better basketball fits, and a really cool final act of LeBron James's career.
Okay.
Number four, I'll go from least favorite to most favorite. Number four is back to Miami. They could use him. He would fit. We know that team. This year, to me, is not a fair representation because Jimmy is hurt. But we know how well coached that team is. We know how good of a defense that team is when they're full strength. And we know LeBron is not a great regular season defender at this point in time. He's going to be a year 22, age 40. Number three.
I'm guessing he don't want to go back to that.
I think you're probably. Culture. Number three, Cleveland, who 100% could use him from a basketball standpoint. It'd be a third act in Cleveland.
He's already done that, though.
I get that. Number two, and this is the least poetic, but maybe of all of them, the one that I think will go after him the hardest, but also a team that has not won a championship in more than 40 years, Philadelphia. Philadelphia can, they're one of the only teams that can give him the same money, essentially, the Lakers can. They have a guy who is, in theory, the number one option, but doesn't have any postseason success to his name. And then the number
I comment on that?
Please.
The Philadelphia one makes a lot of – I don't think he'll do it, obviously. But that's a place you could go. And assuming they get bounced by the Knicks probably tonight, but they lose this series. He goes there, and it's not viewed – even though they have Embiid and Maxey, nobody's going to say, oh, you went to a stacked team. This was the 73-win war. No. This is a team that got beat in the first round. Last year couldn't get past the second round.
The team that's been to the conference finals once since Dr. J.
Right. And Embiid, as great as he is, has nothing to show in the postseason and typically is hurt. So they need a number one guy for the playoffs.
Correct.
Embiid can be a number one for the regular season. LeBron would be the guy for the playoffs. So he would get major credit if he were able to lead them to a championship.
And then the number one, and this is a little self-serving and probably the least realistic, but gosh darn it, it works from a trade perspective, a basketball fit perspective, and Wilds, you will like this. It is the best storyline perspective. The New York Knicks.
We've been doing this for 15 years.
But they have not won a championship in 51 years. They have not been to the finals in 25 years. They have a legitimately excellent team right now that I think, with respect to the Knicks and what they're building, is not quite championship caliber right now, and I think that's not disrespecting Jalen Brunson.
They might get there because of Porzingis, if he's hurt.
But I don't think people look at this Knicks team as like they are ready to win a championship. And there are – people say the only thing LeBron is chasing is Jordan. I disagree with that, but a lot of people obviously agree with it. Man, this would be – like if you could all of a sudden flip Knicks fans into they're on LeBron's side in the LeBron-Jordan debate – It's like a Democrat flipping Texas. It changes the math on all of it. Like, you are real. I mean, they already don't like Jordan to begin with because he beat their heads in for a half decade. And it would, if he, at age 40 in year 22, now that he says, you know, he'd never worked for Dolan. There's obviously the Wes and Leon Rose stuff with Rich. There's a lot of complications there. But they have the assets. I think they have a need at power forward because I don't trust Julius Randle come the postseason. And I think it would be, if you could deliver.
You know, flipping not just the media.
Yes.
You would flip the New York media, which is very influential. I guarantee you, if LeBron went to the Knicks and led them to a championship, his GOAT argument would skyrocket. He would be viewed, I think, by most people as the GOAT. Because everything you do in New York is magnified. Everything.
And he's he's already the only guy, three finals MVPs, three franchises. If all of a sudden it's four, and one's the Lakers, who were in 6 years of obscurity, one's the Knicks, who haven't been to finals in a quarter century, one's the Cavs, who had never won anything, and obviously the Heat had a real culture, and I give them credit. Mm-hmm. Like, and I think for the first time, the Knicks are a basketball, not just the mecca of basketball, not just that, a basketball-wise, an attractive option for anybody. That's what Tibbs, credit. Now, Tibbs might be like, LeBron, it's February, you got to play 47 minutes.
Last OG's out tonight. Players didn't want to play for Tibbs.
But he might.
And I
like that.
And Jalen Brunson can run the show. LeBron could do what you've said for a while, which is play a traditional power forward.
I don't mind it.
There's a lot there,
man. Can I throw one little tidbit? If Bronny was to get drafted by a team, and he's supposed to be this, like, defensive point guard.
Oh, Tibbs could build. He's saying, like,
I'm saying Bronny and Tibbs are a nice match where it feels like Bronny and Lakers coach TBD feels like it's not a, I don't even know who they're.
I mean, I'm not expecting Bronny to play.
No, but of course.
But if you're going to have him develop into like a defensive powerhouse, isn't Tibbs the guy to do
like
that?
Learn from Deuce McBride, bro.
Yeah, you can do that.
No, legitimately.
Like, he should get drafted. Can he be as good as
Josh Hart's obviously a bigger athlete, but Josh Hart's a guy that can go 0-for-7 and have a great game. Like,
the only thing is, you have to go to Villanova if you want to play.
And no player has ever led a team to four championships in any of the major sports.
Finally.
Oh, I didn't know that.
10 seconds left. Tied at 106, Jamal Murray. Mid-range jumper. Game. One series, two winning shots. Here he was post-game.
I didn't want to leave my teammates out there. You know, we've been battling all season. Everybody's hurt at some point. Everybody's going through something. And I just wouldn't be able to live with myself if I wasn't able to play this game. Those are shots that you dream of as a little kid. You practice in the backyard, at the playground. But, I mean, like I said in game two, man, we don't get to that shot without everybody pitching in.
All right, we've got the official unveiling of Club Superstar coming up in a few weeks. Brew?
2 weeks from yesterday.
Oh, 2 weeks from yesterday. I'm sorry. Do you think Jamal Murray is a superstar?
This is a tough one. No, I don't feel like he's a superstar. If they win, but here's the weird thing. If they win the championship this year, he's a Hall of Famer.
Oh.
All-star berths be darned. I mean, he will be, like, because one of the reasons he hasn't made an all-star team yet, one, he's had some injuries, so he's been out. Two, the West is just so deep with guards. Mm-hmm. And so he is an all-star caliber player. Everybody knows that. And the dude is incredible. One thing I liked last night, Nick, he was not, if you didn't know the storyline going in, you wouldn't know he was hurt.
He wasn't milking.
He wasn't grimacing. He wasn't limping.
Who are you talking about?
We see a lot of players do that, right? I'm so in pain. That's why I'm missing shots. The dude is a baller and he's a dog. And he doesn't care like the rest of the Nuggets. Who gets the credit? He doesn't care. He couldn't care less that he hadn't made an all-star team.
Quickly from Harrison Wind, the Nuggets medical staff even told Murray not to play.
Yep. And by the way,
he overrode.
And also, I'm not saying this is. Don't yell at me. If he doesn't play, they lose. Absolutely right. And then, like, if he doesn't play, so many things. Like, does KCP have to play more? There's a lot of things that can happen. And so here is what. So we can show you Club Superstar just quickly on this. The problem is there's a lot of people banging on the door for it. The people in it are Jokic, LeBron, Giannis, AD, Luka, Dame, Jimmy, Tatum, Booker, KD, Steph, and Embiid. you can find guys to kick out.
Two are coming out.
All right, but Anthony Edwards wants to get in. Shea wants to get in. Jalen Brunson wants to get in. Poor Donovan Mitchell's been in line for 3 years, and Jamal Murray wants to get in. Here is what is unique about him. Michael Jordan, Wilt Chamberlain, Allen Iverson. Complete list of guys with more 50-point playoff games than Jamal Murray. Jamal Murray has multiple game winners in one playoff series. We can show you who's done that in the history of the league. Him this round and LeBron in his first series ever, which is so crazy because he's not clutch. And so, like, there is, there is a level of he and Jokic, their points per game jump from regular season to playoffs in their career are the two highest of any two players in the history of the league of real scores. And even if you're like, well, what about his rookie season? Just look at Jamal since he's been the player of his last 5 years. He's 19 a game in the regular season, and he's 25 a game in the postseason. He has been and the point you made the other day, when he's been healthy and Jokic has been this player, conference finals, championship, and we'll see. Yep. And the 2 years he wasn't, they won one series combined. It's kind of like a reverse Harden career arc, except he doesn't like choke in the regular season. It's unbelievable.
Straight clutch.
Is this Mahomes' last dance with Kelsey? Maybe. Next on FS1, the Fox Sports Channel on Sirius XM.
Wild, you were gracious that segment.
What am I going to do?
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $20 on the steel MS-162 or MS-170 chainsaw. Real steel. Offer valid through June 30th, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Welcome back to the show. Check in on the team of the century, New England Patriots, who, like Drake May, getting off the Patriots plane there, so much that they reportedly turned down multiple firsts, which I don't necessarily love. Mike Reese writing, New York Giants had offered six and their 2025 first rounder, while the Vikings offered 11, 23, and a 2025 first rounder. Hello. In exchange for the third pick and two mid-round selections from New England.
Yeah. Okay.
We really like this guy, turns out. You think this was a mistake?
I think turning down the Giants trade is a grievous error. I think you could have set yourself up for the Bears Caleb Williams type of trade, where you trade back, maintain a first round pick. We'll talk about what you could do with that sixth pick in a moment. And then you have the chip of, I have the first round pick of a team that's probably going to be the worst in football next year. Because the Giants next year, starting a raw 21-year-old Drake. Think
they're starting Daniel Jones.
No, but not if they trade up for Drake May.
I believe they are.
They would still.
Because he's still got 1 year guaranteed money.
I think they let this guy sit. I don't think that, but regardless.
It's like Eli, Kurt Warner thing.
Keep in mind, we're now talking about a Giants team that has lost Saquon, that didn't use their first-round pick to add a talented player, that has the offensive line issues, doesn't have Malik Nabers, and you're sitting with a lottery ticket. And I like if I were Elliott Wolf and I wasn't the interim GM, I was the real adult GM, not interviewing for my job. The ability to trade 3-6 and pick up the Giants first rounder and then call Minnesota and say, hey, you offered me 11, 23 and next year's first for three. How about just 11 and 23 for six? And then you're New England. And at 11, you can take either the best defensive player in the draft, or the third offensive lineman off the board, add somebody at 23, and have your first round pick next year, which will be good, and the Giants for that's how you get four blue chip players, potentially the number one pick of next year's draft. Instead, you took right or wrong the third quarterback off the board.
Yeah.
Now maybe you would have had maybe he was the Patriots' second quarterback on their board. I don't know, but he was the third quarterback off the board. So yes, I think it was a huge mistake.
I agree. I think they could have taken either trade, and it would have been better than what they did because. And I don't know. We'll see what Drake May is, but I don't think they're built to accommodate a young quarterback. Like, I think go out and get the pieces around it. Build your football team so that when you do draft that quarterback, and right now, who's number one next year on the boards, the mock drafts? Shadur Sanders. The year after him, Arch Manning. Like, I'm just saying, you build, like, get yourself in position that when you do draft that young quarterback, you've got the pieces to help him be great. Like, Chicago has the pieces right now.
Can I tell you why Chicago was willing to do that? One of the reasons.
Why?
I'm gonna say this nicely. Chicago doesn't win. Chicago doesn't win.
Well, they won it back in 85.
Okay, yeah.
In 85?
No, that's...
We are hungry to win.
Right.
And
which
we are
why
on year
you're
five.
Not going to win.
But that's...
We're in year five of the rebuild. So some people view it as like, you're in year one post-Belichick. We're actually year five post-Brady. We are hungry to start the rebuild.
The idea of delaying it till year six. Hold on, what is your mantra? Your rally cry, your war cry is the drive for five wins.
What are you talking about? I've amended that.
Oh, really? Next
drive
year you're going to be in the
five
playoffs?
Or more.
Okay, so but can I give a counterpoint to that? I think under what I'm suggesting, because I don't agree with Brew in this regard, that to me the Giants trade and the Vikings trade two very different deals. Because I do understand, gosh darn it, we need to be able to be drafting high to draft a quarterback. And the Vikings' future first, I don't think the Vikings are going to bottom out. The Vikings just went through quarterback hell this year.
They got a good team, but is everybody in that division going to win 10 games?
No, that's – but if they win seven games, you're not going to get a top five pick. But the point I'm trying to make is this. I think you guys would win more games this year under my plan with Jacoby Brissett starting.
Yeah.
You might be starting Jacoby Brissett this year anyway.
He should start.
And so I just think, like, you getting these foundational pieces and then being – it is a unique fan experience where your team's in a rebuild, but you get to root for wins because the draft pick you care about is someone else.
Yeah.
Like, if you're a Pats fan this year and you're just rooting against the Giants and for the Patriots, that's a fun 17 Sundays. Like, yeah.
Turns
I just
out
think they should
we
have
got
done.
Josh Allen 2.0, so I think okay, we'll be okay. Check in on the current dynasty, the Kansas City Chiefs, my second favorite team, so that's a big segment for me. Initial reporting on Kelce's contract was off. He's not getting two more years. He's just getting a raise for the next 2 years, so he's locked in through 2025. Here's Chiefs GM Brett Veach.
Friend of the show.
And the odds of someone playing this far into the 30s are very low, but it does happen, and it happens with just... you know, unicorns in the profession, and Travis is one of those. And we'll certainly celebrate this with him, and hopefully we can ride this thing even longer. So we'll just have to wait and see. But I've shown no signs of slowing down. And everyone, you know, notices the kind of postseason he had, and he just found an extra gear.
Okay, last dance for Kelce and Mahomes. Maybe.
Well, if they win this year, I don't see how he walks away. I think if they win this year,
really?
I think that. You win three straight, you're going to try to go win four straight. Hmm. And here's what I'll say about Travis. 380 yards, four touchdowns. That's what separates him and being number one in the playoffs in everything, not just receiving categories. All total touchdowns. He's at 19, Emmett and Thurman Thomas are at 21, Jerry's at 22. So four, he passes them. Receiving yards. No one has 1,500 except for Travis, who has 1,900. Jerry has 2,245. Scrimmage yards, he's at 1,910. Ahead of him are Emmett Smith, Franco Harris, Thurman Thomas, and Jerry Rice, who's at 2,289. 380 yards, four touchdowns. Mm. He already has the catches record. And he can hang him up as the most impactful non-quarterback playoff performer of any position. Of any running back, receiver, tight end. And I think that's attainable in two more postseasons. 380 in one postseason, if the Chiefs get the bye, is hard. If they don't, it's more doable. Yeah. And I think he's chasing that type of stuff. Huh. I think that's all that matters to him at this point. The money's nice. And so, yeah, I mean, I don't think he's going to sign another contract after this, but I think he's going to fulfill this one. I think he's playing two more years.
I think he'll play two, but I think it's possible this is his last year. He was tremendous in the playoffs, of course.
Yes.
But the regular season, he did drop off in everything.
You know,
career low, yards per catch, only five touchdowns. You know, his total yards didn't hit 1,000 for the first time in like 9 years. So if I kind of see it differently, Nick, and I get what you're saying. If you win three, why not go for four? But if they don't win it this year, like I get the hunger.
More likely to come back?
Yeah, now to win three straight. Four, of course, would be phenomenal. But I think three is the bigger number because it's like no one's ever done that. Of course, no one's done four, but then that's when I think complacency can set in for some of the other positions, not Mahomes because he's chasing Brady, but I could see that.
Let me add one thing real quick. I know everyone, when the Chiefs drafted Xavier Worthy, everyone's like, oh, how great this is for Patrick Mahomes. The biggest beneficiary of this is Travis Kelce. Because last year, teams played the Chiefs with a ceiling on the defense. They weren't worried about MVS. Nope. Rasheed's not a speedster. Nope. And so they were able to just, you know, occupy where Travis eats. If you have Marquise Brown and Xavier Worthy out there, even if those guys aren't having great seasons, you still have to respect the speed and what that opens up for Travis over them. So I think Travis, who's hopefully not going to come into this year off a hyperextended knee like he did last year, is going to have a better statistical season this year than he did last year. Plus, he's in love, which helps.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I think that helps. I think it helps you in life.
Madly in love?
You know what? I'll say madly in love.
Wow.
He's kissing her on the arm in public, man. Come on.
The arm?
Yeah, I saw it. Hey, it's Nick Wright, and Father's Day is just around the corner, and you know what that means. Finding the perfect gift for your dad. As a father myself, I know it can be tough to pick the perfect gift for any of us. This year, ditch the tie and give him something he'll really love. The gift of Omaha Steaks. Omaha Steaks brings five generations of family-owned expertise, which means quality you can trust. That's why Omaha Steaks has a 100% money-back guarantee. Some of the best meat in the world, some of the world's best beef, naturally aged for unbeatable tenderness, juiciness, and flavor. Omaha Steaks sent me a box of my own to try, and I could not be more excited to fire up the grill with my family this spring. Little known fact about me, the last and only actual job I've ever had was selling steaks door to door. That's a true story. Back in, gosh, when would that have been? The summer of 2002, 2003, I was a door-to-door steak salesman in the greater Kansas City area. Maybe I'll tell that story longer form on the air one day. But back to Omaha. This Father's Day, Omaha Steaks has put together the perfect package for listeners of First Things First. The deluxe Father's Day gift, which includes Omaha Steaks, butcher's cut top sirloins, juicy boneless pork chops, deli-style gourmet jumbo franks, and their legendary Omaha steak burgers. All of this for just $89.99. Head over to omahasteaks.com and use the promo code FIRST at checkout to get four additional burgers absolutely free. That's right, 24-mouth watering entrees for just $89.99 when you use the promo code FIRST at checkout. Don't wait till the last minute to get Dad something he'll love. Go to omahasteaks.com and use the promo code FIRST for the perfect gift for Dad this Father's Day.
Falcons still dealing with the aftershocks of the earth-shaking move to start planning for the post-Kirk Cousins era before the start of the Kirk Cousins era. Here's Raheem Morris on any brewing quarterback controversy between Cousins and Penix.
Kirk does not have to look over his shoulder every time he throws a bad pass. Like, that is not the case. Like, yep. So I know I'm going to have to tell you guys once or twice that that is not the case. Like, we are here to go win, and we're here to go win it all.
Okay. I mean, short leash for Cousins? I was just – go ahead.
Well, I think with the front office, it's a very long leash, all right, because they want to show – I mean, they got $100 million guaranteed to him. So they would love him to be great for the next 2 years at least. All right. The fan base, I think, will be a very short leash. Mm. If he has a few bad games, they have a bad start, a couple of losses, some bad interceptions, they're going to be screaming for Michael Penix Jr. The interesting one is Raheem Morris, the coach. Is he long leash or is he short leash? Because for coaches, you got to win. I mean, I don't know how much input he had on picking Penix. But if he didn't have any input, or if he had either way, he's got to win games. Mm-hmm. All right, so if Cousins doesn't play well early, and if Penix looks great in practice, I would think that Morris is like, hey, he's ready already. Mm.
Yeah, I think I'm going to say what you were thinking.
Go ahead.
This is why you don't do this.
Well, there you go.
This is why. This is one of the reasons why that this is so unorthodox and cutting edge is because it's not Madden, and you do have to answer these questions. And one at some point, Kirk's got to answer these questions. Mm-hmm. And at some point, Michael Penix has to get up there. And I understand he's old by rookie standards, but he's young by human being standards. And as a 24-year-old, he has to somehow measure, I have to show this franchise I'm a killer and a competitor and I can lead the team, but I also have to kind of defer to this guy who I actually believe I'm better than because I think most guys always believe they're, you know, at that level. It's just a mess.
Yeah.
And when the other part of this that when we were first discussing it, that I didn't either remember or know at the time, I can't remember myself, was that they gave Kirk Cousins not just $100 million, not just a contract that if they were to move on from him, there's a lot of dead money via signing bonus. They gave him a no-trade clause, which leads me to believe that when they signed him 6.5 weeks ago, they didn't think they were doing this.
No.
And so
no way.
It's just, I think that Kirk Cousins Will is likely over the course of the entire season the better option. But Wilds, you know this very well because you were one of four people who picked the Vikings to go to the Super Bowl last year. What happened to them early in the season?
They were bad, but I looked up the stats. It was not necessarily Kirk Cousins' fault. There was a handful of interceptions, but there was a lot of turnovers.
No, it was
mostly fumbles and a handful of interceptions.
It was three separate back-breaking red zone mistakes by Kirk, who otherwise had played really well. My point is, if that's how this year starts, where, all, you know what I mean? That's worse than having a bad game. A good game, but then you blow it in the very end.
Yeah.
And, of course the leash is going to be short. And it's a mess. Giving him a no-trade clause?
Also, just saying, like, we're going to win this. We're all in a championship. Like, not really. It's been our first-round draft
on our backup
quarterback.
On a guy who's
not going to play for 3 years.
This is a special alert to all Americans who own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles with an auto warranty about to expire or with no warranty coverage at all. With summer quickly approaching, CarShield is offering a low-cost month-to-month vehicle protection plan that is available to the public to save any driver out-of-pocket expenses on future auto repairs. Call now to find out how you can pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs, like AC parts and check engine light mysteries. See why CarShield is voted America's most trusted vehicle protection company and see why our commitment to our customers has landed us an A rating with the Better Business Bureau. We have live reps here to answer all your questions. Drivers who are covered will not have to pay for covered repairs again. This protection plan is at an all-time low. Additionally, drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Visit us for your free quick quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio. What do you have to lose? Visit carshield.com/audio.
Coming up in 9 short minutes, it's the chilly return of Mahomes Mountain. I had a long conversation with our director, Rick, about how much snow is going to be on the desk. And I was like, Rick, I think you're paying attention to this more than anyone else.
That's good. That's why he's great at his job. Shout out, Rick.
Attention.
Hall of Fame director.
Hall of Fame?
That's what I hear. Great boxing career. He's one of the best.
Rick, are you a Hall of Famer?
He's got some hot takes.
But he does have a lot of hot takes. Hey, Rick, Joe Alt was on the Herd.
Always shows you smirking for no reason.
LeBron gave a coy non-answer about his future in L.A. Windhorse thinks he's headed to free agency. The Athletic reporting. Lakers are open to a 3-year extension and drafting Bronny. Here's LeBron on that idea.
How much of a goal is it for you to play alongside him on the same team?
I don't know. I haven't given much thought lately. Obviously, I thought about it in the past, but at the end of the day, the kid has to do what he wants to do. And I don't even want to say kid no more. The young man will decide what he wants to do and how he wants his career to go. So, I just think the fact that we're even having a conversation is pretty cool.
All right, Bruce, should a team draft Bronny to entice LeBron?
What a team should do is take these next weeks and talk to Rich Paul, LeBron's agent, about would LeBron actually come here if we drafted Bronny. Those teams should be Philadelphia, which could pay LeBron the max. Mm-hmm. All right. Heck, if LeBron's willing to, if he's just like, I want to win a championship and play with Bronny. If I'm Phoenix, if LeBron might take the minimum, which I don't think he would, but if he's going to play somewhere for the minimum, Phoenix, How else can you get better? We'll draft Bronny. We'll bring in LeBron. New York, I mean, it opens it up. But teams should definitely test the waters and talk to Rich and say, look, we'll take Bronny if LeBron will come. I think at the end of the day, he's in L.A., but try, sure.
So it's a unique conversation because if Bronny were – and I listen, he dealt with cardiac arrest. It's amazing he resumed his career. And prior to that, folks that do the NBA draft thought he was, you know what I mean, somewhere mid-first-round pick. Mm-hmm. Now, folks, I think rightfully are saying that if he were not, you know, if he were Bronny Jameson instead of Bronny James, going into this year's draft wouldn't be smart. So I say this with respect to the young man. If he were a better prospect, this is a totally different conversation. Mm-hmm. If he were a guy that, absent of LeBron, he was like, oh, he's a late lottery pick, then it would be totally irrelevant where LeBron wants him to go. A team's going to do what's best for them. But because it does, this year's draft would have so much to do with his dad, it would feel to me a little dirty pool if a team drafted him without doing what Bruce said.
Oh, yeah, you got...
Like a hostage, it's a basketball hostage situation. Like, wait, LeBron won't take our meeting, so we're drafting his kid and seeing it like that. I'm curious about the gray area, which is if LeBron is considering different teams but has not made a commitment, would a team say, well, we're going to draft Bronny? See if that's the tiebreaker. That's what makes it complicated. And what would a team do if they did that and Bron said, I'm not signing there? Like, what would that mean for Bronny? And because I think LeBron has clearly changed his language on this.
Yeah.
It's my last thing left. And now he has, whether it's because Savannah got him to stop doing it or Bronny did or he just did it himself, he has cooled on that quite a bit. And he even said it there. He's like, I haven't really thought about it in those terms lately. Mm-hmm. Like, acknowledging at one point he did, but not so much now.
But you have to talk to Rich Paul about this. All right, because you can't tamper with LeBron. But you could talk to agents. And Rich has all these other clients. And people might say, well, who cares what LeBron or Rich think? If I want to draft Bronny and I want to spite the Lakers or whatever, well, Rich has a lot of clients. And you have to deal. You can't tick off these agents who have a lot of clients.
I also don't think I don't think that there's going to be a team that does, like, maybe I'm being naive here. I don't think there's going to be a team that drafts Bronny to spite Bron and Rich. I don't think
No, not to spite them. But I'm saying if you really wanted Bronny or you want to spite the Lakers, you know?
Well, listen, the Knicks are drafting at 38, Philly's drafting at 41, Miami's drafting at 43, Golden State's drafting at 52. Those are all teams who right now have second-round picks that I think are somewhat plausible LeBron destinations.
Because you're going to Steph's team. If he would, it'd be fantastic.
I mean, I think that I don't think he would either. But my point is the Lakers are drafting at 55.
Yep.
And the Warriors, the reason I mentioned them is because it was widely reported they called the Lakers or Rich or somebody about potentially trading for him. Obviously, Draymond's there.
Like, remember, you also don't have to draft Bronny to have him on your team.
If he goes undrafted,
The Lakers could just bring him in as a free agent.
But there's only 58 picks in this year's draft because two teams lost their picks and they didn't replace them. So having the 55th pick is kind of like getting a guy you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's getting an undrafted player.
Okay. Mahomes Mountain next. It's going to be excellent. It's the return. We don't even have that much snow. See, Rick is just...
Don't talk bad about Rick.
A stickler for details. I love it.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Live from New York, the show that's running home.
This guy thinks he can run an impromptu marathon in under 5 hours. If you see Wilds on the street, be like, hey, run a marathon. You got 5 hours. He thinks he could do it.
I've been training for a half marathon.
But you've been, not out of nowhere, wearing this silly outfit.
Oh, who says I have to wear the same outfit?
You got to go. You said you could do it on drop of a hat.
Tomorrow I will run home. I swear to God. Today, it's the second hour, first things first. Where should LeBron take his talent next year if he hits free agency? Why Brew thinks Phoenix to play for a Russell Westbrook X $3 million.
Wilds thinks he could walk to the arena in a couple days.
Meanwhile, I could. You guys are underestimating how fast I move. Last call for the Sixers tonight.
No.
How mad is Joel Embiid going to be when he finds out Knicks fans are 100% of the audience for that? But right now, it's a special post-draft edition of the coldest segment in all of sports. What you're about to see is a ranking that is without equal. Potential, momentum, ability to withstand the cold, which is admittedly tough if you play in Miami, all are accounted for as we begin our 2024 trek up the most treacherous segment in all of sports, Mahomes Valley.
Thank you for the wonderful introduction, Kevin Wilds. Much appreciated. You've done your work today. If you need to hurry home now, it's fine. Sure, you get there before 6 in the morning tomorrow. But some rules of engagement here. There's a little bit of projection when it comes to who is going to be the starter. So there's 32 quarterbacks eligible because I'm not ranking backups. So there are a couple teams, for example, the Raiders, where we don't know for certain. So I have projected who I think the starter will be for all those teams. Here are the guys who are projected starters but did not make the mountain. At base camp, Russell Wilson. I think he's the projected starter, doesn't make the mountain.
Wow.
Drake May, tough situation. Will Levis, again, I know the Titans love you. Bryce, goes without saying. Gardner going from Shane Steichen's cocoon in Indy to the Raiders, not great. And, of course, Bo Nix. While the tan looks wonderful, I do not think he's going to play great. Bottom row of the mountain. Of all these guys, I think I am the most optimistic about Anthony Richardson. By proxy of my opinion of I don't like tiny football players, I love giant ones. And he is us. He is 6'5", crazy athlete, and I thought he played well in the 3 games he played last year where he didn't get knocked out. And so, also, J.J. McCarthy, I think, is the number one candidate to trick Kevin Wilds. I think J.J. McCarthy is the most likely quarterback that Wilds is going to be on here in week 8 and be like, he's good, guys. Yeah. I don't know what you want me to tell you. He's good. And so that's bottom row. Row 6. This is quite the row. 2 number one overall picks and a Mr. Irrelevant. A Hall of Famer at the bank, an actual Hall of Famer in Aaron Rodgers, and Tua. This maybe shows the depth of quarterbacking in the league this year. You guys know I like a number of these guys on this row to a degree, and you have Tua, who's led the league in multiple categories for multiple years. Aaron, obviously, who, even though he hasn't thrown for 300 yards in how many games?
23. Well,
23 games and, you know, almost 1,000 days at this point. It's got to be. Right. It's quite the row. Row 5, all 5 of these guys have huge years in front of them as far as what it means for them. Jordan Love, as much as people, no pun intended, love him, only really has 2/5 of a season of great football under his belt. But there's a lot of hype there. I believe Trevor Lawrence is about to get a massive deal based on the promise he showed as a prospect and, you know, at the 15-game stretch in the middle of his career, but he's got to actually have a full, healthy season doing it. We know what's on the line for Dak. Jared Goff's trying to get a contract and trying to continue building on that momentum. And Jalen Hurts, what is the outlier year? Was it the Super Bowl year or was it last year? This year we'll give us some information there. Now to legit stars. Even though Kevin Wilds, you know, screamed at me about Justin Herbert, one of the many things we yelled about this week, I think Justin Herbert and Matt Stafford actually have a lot of similarities. The talent is obvious from the very beginning. The winning didn't come for Stafford until he left Detroit. It has not yet come for Herbert, but you know how good of a player they are. Lamar, 2-time MVP, the playoff struggles notwithstanding. And then there is Caleb Williams, who I believe will be one of the 10 best quarterbacks in the league the moment he sets foot in the league. And unlike the other rookie quarterbacks outside of maybe JJ, is set up wonderfully with weapons, offensive line, potentially a good defense. Third row, I feel badly for these guys because these guys don't deserve to live in a world where none of them will ever be able to say they were the best quarterback alive. They all have the talent to where they could have been able to say that in a more just universe in a different football era. Blame your parents for when you were born because the guy at the top of the mountain's not going anywhere. Reveal the next row. Of course, there's no one on the next row. Because nobody deserves to be within spitting distance of the namesake of the mountain, also WWE superstar yesterday. If you saw him, though you're using your rings as brass knuckles, it's a little harsh for me, but whatever you got to do, Patrick. There he is. It goes without saying. The top of the mountain. Brew, your thoughts on post-draft Mahomes Mountain.
Well, I'm a little iffy on the criteria.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
But if it's not high school and college accolades, then I think Brock Purdy and the Prince should be switched.
I think that's
fair. Is that fair?
That's
one's
totally
been to
fair.
A Super Bowl, won four playoff games, been an MVP candidate, fourth in MVP voting, and one has been a disappointment to this
point. He's not been a disappointment. That's too harsh.
Close to a disappointment. That might be a tad bit harsh, but close to a disappointment. So switch those two. But my main thing is Lamar.
Oh. A little triple taste.
Lamar should be moved up to the next level because which one of those guys, Burrow, Stroud, Allen, has an MVP? I'll wait.
Yeah, nobody does.
None of them.
Let alone two. All right? And none of them, Burrow's been further than Lamar. But Lamar, let me ask this one too. Burrow, a A-list receiver, right, for the bulk of his career. Allen, A-list receiver for the bulk of his career. Not yet Stroud, but he will this year. Lamar has never had an A-list receiver.
Well, it's not for lack of trying.
They've really?
OBJ draft...
was old. We knew he wasn't A-list.
As far as draft capital, they've spent more on the receivers than
Bateman
any team.
Bateman can't stay healthy. Hollywood wanted out, and he's not A-list anyway. I mean, all right? And Zay, we'll see. Right? We'll see. I like Zay. We'll see. All right? But Lamar, and I know this year, you know, he wasn't great, obviously, in that AFC championship game. But this year they're going to run it more, but I think that's going to open up things even more for his passing. He won't throw it a ton, but when he does, I think he'll be incredibly effective. And I think having Derrick Henry there is going to just open things up even more for him to run when
so
he wants
I
to,
don't,
particularly in the postseason. So I think Lamar should move.
But do you have a specific guy you'd move down? Because I don't think he's better than any of those three guys. That's the problem. The problem is, I understand that CJ hasn't shown a lot. You know, he's has the
young,
1 year.
Yeah.
But there's not any blemishes on the resume with CJ. You know what I mean? He was good from start to finish of last year. Burrow.
I mean, he's done more than Josh Allen.
I agree with
and
that.
And Burrow, I like Burrow. I want to. I mean, wow. We haven't seen him in so long as far as being really healthy.
It does feel like
a long time.
I think that's fair, except I don't think. I think that if Burrow's the biggest injury risk at quarterback, Lamar's got to be on the short list after him. And
he
so
hadn't had the serious ones.
That's true. And he had. I understand that. I just think those three quarterbacks are better than Lamar. And I'm not trying to be like again. It's not left to right. So Lamar might be as high as fifth. You know, it's not left to right, but it's just there's four guys who are better than
him. I got a source on the committee.
There's no committee for this. This is just me. You don't have a source in my brain. Go ahead.
All right, so I would like to switch Tua and the Prince. The Prince didn't make the playoffs. Tua did.
Either way, the Prince is down.
The Prince should come down.
Two of us down.
Were they 9-3 and he missed the playoffs for his?
I'm sorry, they were 8-3 and then he broke his ankle and valiantly played through it. And shockingly, the team fell apart once he was.
Jamal Murray was on one calf and he just won.
Football's a little more contact sport, buddy. I know you think football and basketball analysis have to be the same. It does not. Go ahead.
In any event, Tua, 2022, he had led in yards per pass and passer rating. And people weren't happy. So, you know what? You've got to prove you can stay healthy. He said, all right, how about I play all the games and go to the playoffs and throw for the most yards in the league? And people still don't respect the guy. Why? Brew, don't say it yet. Don't say it yet. I know it got cold and he didn't perform well in Kansas City. Who does? Okay? Nobody did. And he lost to the Super Bowl champions. He may have been in second place when you look at it through one lens. Lost to the champs. Just like the 49ers did. So hold on one second.
Yeah.
I would like for us to figure out in this segment what Tua needs to do other than have Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle off the team so he can thrive to impress people. Because leading the league in passing yards and having and going to the playoffs, the year after he led the league in passer rating, Doesn't seem to move. It feels like he's in an unwinnable situation.
No, perform in a big spot or against a good team when it's sweater weather. Any of those things would be nice.
Well, but Justin Herbert's never won a game. He's two levels above.
I do have a question. Well, they have the same amount of playoff wins, I think. I could check. Wait, I already know it. Here's the other question I have for you. Because you made a very compelling case for Tua that we shouldn't hold the Chiefs' playoff loss against him.
Yes.
The person you wanted to move down has lost one playoff game ever. Who was it to and where was it?
Oh, sure. It was in Arrowhead. But he also played. He also what now? He should have made the last year. Is this how long is this Mahomes Mountain?
Hold on.
Are we doing a historical thing? I want to put Tom Brady on. Are we talking about this year? The Prince was 8-3 and the probability to make the playoffs was at 97%. And he found a way.
He thread the needle.
The 3% he got there. Did he sit down?
He did miss a game.
Okay.
First of all, was the difference.
Then he should have stayed.
Okay, that's fine. But the,
he's
there
on the
is,
field. How's
there
it work,
is,
bro?
Hold on. You got to wait a moment. Wait a moment, my dear friend. You can't be a quarterback wins guy at just part-time. You are the ultimate quarterback wins and playoff wins guy.
I'm full-time.
So then why are all your arguments for Tua about these gaudy stats? We don't have to do eye tests. We don't have to do stats. If it's quarterback wins.
He won.
He didn't.
What's Tua's win-loss record? I'll tell you what it is.
Zero in the postseason.
What's his win-loss record? I bet it's good.
It is good.
I know.
It is good.
32-19? Yes. I might move him two levels up. The guy, he can't.
He has won.
To answer your question,
but he can't beat the good teams. Yes. He's 1-6 against non-tomato cans.
No,
you're in the cold weather?
The break dancer.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. Win. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
You know, Brew, last year, after losing to Denver, LeBron thought about retiring.
He was hurt. He had a torn tendon.
So you have to retire?
That's a career-ending injury? Well, yeah, some people don't want to go through rehab. Thankfully for us, he did. Gave us the greatest year 21 season in the history of sports.
Now he's thinking about free agency. Brian Windhorst, kind of contemplating. He's not necessarily reporting, but he's just kind of saying, surmising, that Braun would opt out and become a free agent for the first time since 2018. Brew, where do you want to see LeBron next year?
Well, look, I've stated it. I think he's going to be in L.A., and I think Bronny's going to get drafted by the Lakers. But
I think Wendy thinks that, too.
Yeah.
I think Wendy is saying he's going to opt out and then resign to get the longer contract. But go ahead.
But I'm going to have two categories. Oh. Let's just play around he's not necessarily staying in L.A. One is the best stories. What would be the great stories, right? Golden State.
Yes.
I mean, that would be a traveling circus.
I hate that story.
Now, I get it because obviously LeBron would get a lot of credit if they won it, but still, it's Steph's team. Is it a championship that puts him ahead of Jordan?
And it would guarantee he can't finish with more than Steph.
Than Steph, right.
Now, it maybe also guarantees you could Steph say can't finish Steph, with more look, than him. Like they,
this will help you pass Magic, and it'll help me pass Jordan. Yeah. All right, so that would be, but it'd be a great story. We'd all want to watch it.
Sure.
Knicks, and you said that earlier, the Knicks would be phenomenal. And that is a place where if you win a championship there, everything's magnified. Maybe a lot of people do put you ahead of Jordan with that. Here are the ones where if winning another championship is just the most important thing to him, and he'll take minimum if necessary. Philly, he wouldn't have to, but Philly be a place you could take. He could go. I mean, if you just want to win, which I don't think he'll do this, Milwaukee. Yeah. I mean, and that's a team that didn't look great this year.
No.
Right?
I like
so
that
it's, again,
saying,
you would
oh,
get
I think
some credit.
Would get credit.
You
I would, think get, he would credit. Get a lot of credit with Milwaukee
yeah.
because
really?
They're.
I mean, Giannis, it would be Giannis would be
yeah,
the guy.
I, it,
but,
agreed, but I don't think it would be looked at like he's joining a juggernaut. You know what I mean? Milwaukee's going to looks like they're going to be coming off back-to-back round one defeats.
That's
they would have not been to a conference final since they, you know, by the time he gets there in 4 years.
Here's the thing, though.
You know
if
what
you
I mean?
Go like to Milwaukee, Giannis is kind of viewed as the best player. Dame is presumably your clutch closer.
I don't know about that.
So,
but okay.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But And the third one, and this is what we talked about, Phoenix. I mean, again, if you want to take the minimum,
I don't think
that'd be
win.
A good story.
I don't.
He
I don't.
Could play power forward there. Or he could play point guard.
He would have to play
point guard. He could play point guard.
Phoenix,
he can play point guard, right.
Yeah.
So it's just interesting. And you're close. You're out west. So you're not that far from your family if Bronny's drafted by the Suns.
I'm not surprised you didn't mention your Clippers.
Well, I just don't think – I've been told LeBron's not a Clipper.
Oh, okay.
I've been told.
So
this is in the past.
So I don't need to say – like, I haven't been told this, but the world's been told that – he's not a fan of Knicks ownership, and people that know kind of NBA agent history know that Rich and the guys who are running the Knicks now have, you know.
But they did. Yeah
they had a tortured relationship. It seems like they have since solved it. The one place that checks every box is the Knicks. Now, again, this is the question is, where do I want LeBron to play? I promise you I'd be saying this even if I didn't live in New York City. Yes, of course, I'd like to be able to go to 40 LeBron James games a year. But the...
costly.
The
it's going well.
You know, it'd be worth it.
Look at that jacket.
Thanks, buddy. As always, sports tickets are free if you bet on the right team. It also can be either double the price. They can win.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a guy that is universally considered better than him.
No.
I think there's only, right now, five guys in the league that are just universally considered better than LeBron, and Jalen Brunson's not one of them. Now, you can say he had a better year than LeBron this year. Fine. He's probably going to finish higher on All-NBA, and he's going to finish on the MVP voting, but nobody would be like, oh, this guy attached himself to Jalen Brunson.
Absolutely.
It is a team with a rich history with no winning.
Yeah.
It's a weird, you know what I mean? They've been to... I want to make sure I get this right. Four finals in the last 55 years and won two championships from 1970 to now. And they haven't been to a finals in 25 years. And man, Bruce said this earlier. I didn't know it was a fact that no athlete in any major American sport has won four titles for four different teams. I didn't know that.
A title for four different teams.
And
who's close? Like it's
LeBron. LeBron is LeBron's one of the three. People with three, and then hockey, I think, it has some.
Okay.
But there's no in the NBA, guys have done it, but not been the Finals MVP the way LeBron has. He's the only one for three different franchises. I just think it works, and I also think that right now. The Lakers, I don't think, are a move away from beating Denver. And right. I know that I said...
Finally, we got here.
I was going to give you... But can
21.
I said at the top of the show that you were right.
I was talking to myself.
particularly because, and this is one of the reasons I was so frustrated with the coaching this year and these things, they got... really healthy years from Anthony Davis and LeBron.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
LeBron played 71 games. AD played the most games that he's played in his career. He played 76 games. And then, by the way, they actually played more than that because the play-in game doesn't count and the in-season tournament final didn't count. So they actually played two more. And then this. So I think that a year older LeBron, who might not be as healthy, and whatever move around the margins the Lakers make, like, will I probably convince myself by the time next year rolls around they could do it? I tend to. But the Knicks, I think, are in a different spot. And so that's where I'd want to see them go. It's the New York Knicks.
I like
Knicks.
That. 40 games is a lot.
40 games?
You're going to go to 40?
Well, the season tickets is 41. I'd give you tickets to one.
We're not saying it's going to happen.
Yeah, if LeBron signs with the Knicks... I will get season tickets and they'll be good seats. I don't care what they cost.
Wow.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hey, check out our podcast. You might be wondering, does Wilds read these comments? Yes, even the spam. And I'm like, who's writing that? What does that mean? I'm like, oh, that's spam. Also, tomorrow, NFL... look at the Caleb Williams thing.
Man. Should have
been. And Mahomes is like pointing to, oh, he's pointing to the trophy. I didn't see the trophy there. Yeah. I thought he was pointing to Caleb. And Dak.
I need one with Caleb doing the bear claw.
I like that one. Also, Aaron Rodgers on a podcast. Medals time. You gotta read about these mud floods.
Oh my goodness.
Medals time.
It's up in the fourth.
Tatum on Caleb Martin.
Nice.
Two of his 20, quiet 20, and Porzingis out, but he looks like he's going to be okay.
Speaking of great podcasters, bronze medal, Michael Porter Jr. Unbelievable series by him, sincerely. And, like, we said before the series, we didn't know how him dealing with off-court real drama was going to impact him. He played some of the best basketball of his life in some of the biggest spots. He was excellent. He gets a bronze. Silver medal, Derek White. Best game of his career?
Yeah.
I mean, I think, all things considered, on fire, 38 points as the Celtics move one game away from closing out the Miami Heat. Feels like game five is a vintage Celtics loss.
That's in dunks.
Just the home game in the playoffs. They have no business losing. And then a gold medal, Jamal Murray. 32 points. Once again, hey, Rui, go help! Maybe they go over that next year training camp. I don't know. Torian tells him to go out.
He just passed it to Joker. There's like five options.
Rui's guarding nobody.
Take it up with awful coaching.
You know what?
Is maybe that I Reggie? Did.
The website. I'm not criticizing the coaching. No, talking about the YouTube channel. It's good.
Okay, I am criticizing the coaching, and I will take it up with him. There's the podium from last night in the Association.
Game five tonight at the Garden. Embiid missed shoot around with a migraine. That wasn't good. Expected to play. New York is favored by 4. Brew, is the season over for Philly?
Yeah, it's over.
Oh.
They've been beaten. Like, psychologically. They're
done. Goodness.
Yeah.
That's what the migraine may be from.
I mean, Embiid wasn't that shoot around. He's got the migraine. And then Kelly Oubre is under the weather. He wasn't at shoot around either. Yeah. And I just think they're defeated. The Knicks are a mentally tougher team, a physically tougher team. And yeah, Philly, they've taken your heart. So
wow.
I thought it would be 7, Knicks and 7, Knicks and 5.
Wow, you just flayed.
I'd love to see Embiid do something tonight, but.
No, you're saying he went 100% tin man. No heart.
By the way, also, we never North revisited. Quarters, that was one of your rare for this series category 3s.
What?
About the Lakers going full tin man mode, because then they won game 4, which if team with no heart would have laid down in game 4. I
Denver
disagree.
Didn't bring their sneakers.
They weren't locked in.
Denver's wearing sandals.
They weren't locked in. I think the Sixers went. I disagree with Brew. I don't think the Sixers are going full tin man mode, which is not going to become a thing we say on this show, by the way. I think Embiid's going to be excellent. I think the Sixers are going to extend their season.
I hope you're right.
On a Josh Hart tin man mode thing. Woo! Tune in tomorrow. Speakers next.